Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. And we thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you that you have a word for them. And we thank you, Father, as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word would not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take the word that we hear and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you, Father, that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But we thank you most of all for your anointing that's present tonight. Your anointing that's here, it's all around about us. We thank you that we stir that anointing up, that anointing that just changes us in an instant. We thank you for it now. Father God, we thank you for mom and dad and the crusade team as they're there in Massachusetts and New York. And we thank you, Father, for many lives being changed, many people being healed. And we thank you for helping them and giving them strength and power and might. Father God, we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing, both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. I know it's been a little warm here recently, but I was talking to somebody and kind of griping about how warm it was. And you know, the thing about it, we were talking, and in a few short months, we'll be talking about how cold it is. You know, so the best way to do is just think about, you know, I don't know about you, but I kind of like warm better than cold. I mean, some of you, maybe you're I was going to say crazy, not crazy. Maybe you're different and you like cold weather, but, you know, I particularly like hot weather. So, I mean, I'm not as hot as I used to. I'm thinking, and maybe I'm wrong, but it just seems that humidity in Oklahoma has got worse over the years. You know, I remember as a kid, you know, playing football, going out, you know, practice in this kind of weather, and it was no big deal, but it just seems that humidity is worse than it has been. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, Luke 5:17. And I want to look at this story and kind of talk about some things from actually a different perspective than I ever have actually on this. Luke 5:17, I know we've preached on this many times here at the church. It says this, says Luke 5:17, reading from the New King James. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching, talking about Jesus here, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. I want to stop right there. So let's look at the audience that's there with Jesus. It said there were Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come out of all these different towns. Now, sometimes, you know, in the Bible, we kind of make fun of the Pharisees. But I just want you to understand that the only difference between the Jews and us Christians is that we believe in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You know, and they believe the Messiah hasn't came yet. So up to this point, there wasn't Christians, there was only Jews. And the people who were in this house were the most religious people of the day. Or we want to call it the most spiritual people of the day. You know, and there are people who, they believe the Old Testament. That's the only thing was of the Bible at that point in time, was the Old Testament. So there were a bunch of spiritual people there. All right, so I just want you to understand the audience who was there. And the next little sentence here is the most important sentence. It says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So there was power in that place that day. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. I do also want to let you know that the Bible says that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, that same power is still present to heal us. Amen. It's the same power. But then we read on It says, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. Now, that's just one short paragraph, but there's a lot there. First of all, these guys, you know, the man on the bed, and tradition says four other guys who carried the man on the bed. I don't know if there was really four, but it seems to be there were four people carrying the man. So they came to the house, and they couldn't get in. Now, I always say, you know, that's the difference between a modern-day church and the church back then, because I know people who have come to a church, and they try to get in. They said, well, you know, we don't have any room in the sanctuary, but we have an overflow with a closed-circuit television, and they go home. You know, understand the power of the present. The power was there to heal them, but they went home. Now, I don't know what these four guys did, but, you know, I personally probably would have, at that point in time, when I came to the house and it was crowded, I would have took up an offering between the four guys and tried to bribe somebody to let us in. But they chose the other route, to go to the top of the house and let the man down from the roof. Now, you understand that at no place in the Bible does it say that these guys came with tools, rope, ladder, or anything, you know. I mean, they didn't plan to go drop this guy on top of the roof. So do you realize that these guys had to figure out how they're going to get the crippled man on top of the roof? Do you know, it's not an easy thing. In fact, you know, we could do an experiment. We could have one of you guys lie down on a stretcher, and four of us can go outside and figure out how we're going to take you to the roof and get you on top of there without dropping you. You know, and I'm sure nobody wants to volunteer to be the man on the bed. You know, now you understand, and the rules would be you have to use whatever tools you can find around about, because do you understand there probably wasn't a Walmart next door where they could say, hey, you know what? We can go to Walmart, or we can go to Lowe's over here. We can get some pulleys and some rope and some ladder and all kinds. It's an easy job. I mean, it wasn't easy to get this guy to the roof. You know, and that's why I always say it's always good to have good friends like this man. I mean, think about it. He had four friends that had the same motto that my dad has. I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. I mean, they were going to do anything they could to get this guy before Jesus, because they love this man enough that they want to make sure that he got healed. I mean, you know, in essence, we should make sure that whenever we're going through things in life, whether it be sickness, whether it be just depression or whatever it is, surround yourself with good people that are going to stand with you and help you. You know, there are a lot of people out there, they might be good Christians, but they don't always want to stand with you. They sometimes want to tell you, well, you know, it's because you did this or because you did that. No, you know, find some good people to surround yourself with. And so these guys got this man to the roof. And you know, I often said, I don't know. You know, you talk about faith. I mean, all of them were using faith. And think about the faith for this man who lied on the stretcher. I mean, you know, it takes a lot of faith to let somebody carry you on top of the roof. You know, it wasn't like they had a freight elevator. They were able to go up there. And then do you realize that they had to break a guy's tiling up? I mean, think about this. Think about, we're all standing here in service, and all of a sudden we begin to see roof tiles start falling down. I mean, that would kind of interrupt service a little bit. I mean, that was, you know, and I mean, I guess they figured out where he was. I mean, somehow to let him down. And I've often thought about this too. It says they were at a house. So you know, the owner of the house is sitting on the front row. They had to let the guy down right in front of the owner of the house, which is kind of, I mean, it takes a lot of faith to do all this stuff. You know, but they had the no, don't quit attitude. They were going to do whatever it took to get this man before Jesus. You know, and it is interesting. We'll read on. We'll talk about this. It says, so you know, that little paragraph or verse or two, whenever they, you know, went on top of the roof, that probably took a little bit of time. I mean, I don't think that they just magically, I mean, we're, you know, magically went outside, got on top of the roof, you know, and that was like a 5-minute deal. I'm sure it took time. All during service, you know, and obviously when they had to be making some noise up there, I'm surprised that usher didn't go out there and tell them to stop or something, you know. But whatever, they kept going until they got to the point they're letting this guy down from the ceiling. You know, it was the only way to get the guy in. I mean, like I said, I would have probably taken up an offering, tried to bribe somebody, you know, say, hey, here's $100 if you let me in. And they said, well, it's not enough. Here's $200. Just let us in. You know, but, you know, they decided to do the hard part, to drop them through the top. So here they were. We're going to say, verse 20 says, when he, talking about Jesus, saw their faith. Notice there is plural. It's plural. It just didn't say that he saw the man's faith. He saw all their faith. They were working together. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, if two or more are gathered together, touching anything. That's why, you know, it's good to find someone who's going to believe with you and stand with you. And I found out, too, you know, sometimes whenever you find someone who can stand with you, you know, if you have some really good close friends, I mean, I know, I'm just going to be honest, the other day, about a week or so ago, I don't usually complain about much, you know, or I don't, you know, it's, you know, I understand the devil's a liar. I understand that the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy. I understand that he's trying to attack my life, and I get that. We talk about that all the time. You know, we know we read John 10:10 all the time here. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the other day, this is kind of how my weekend went. I went in the weekend with three cars and came out of the weekend with one car. Well, one car running. So, you know, just my daughter wrecked one. My wife, her car just stopped. And, you know, actually got the report. And this is the exact what the mechanic says. Your engine is seized. You know, I mean, it's bad enough to have a seizure, but when your engine has a seizure, that's a pretty big deal. So the only good thing right now is that I had bought an extended warranty because I bought a used car with a lot of miles on it. Bought an extended warranty. And so now I'm fighting with the extended warranty company to make sure they pay everything. Okay, so that's 2 weeks ago. But anyway, I was going through this, had a couple other things going on in my life. And, you know, I was just frustrated. And I began to talk with one of my friends who's a minister, also a mechanic. And so we're talking about, you know, the motor, talking about working with, he owns two mechanics garages, so he's worked with these insurance companies. And, man, I'm just all frustrated and everything else. And, you know, I'm just, you know, it's just good to have a good person because man, he began to encourage me. Said, you know what, it's not that big a deal. It's, you know, said, even if they don't pay, it's only money. You're going to make it anyway. We're getting through this. You know, you know, your daughter didn't get hurt. You know, you got a lovely wife, even though her car's broke. I mean, you know, so it's like, I mean, he began to look at the positives instead of the negatives. Sometimes, you know, we're going through life and we look at all the negative stuff. But there is a lot of positive stuff. You know, so we're going to get through this. I mean, these things are only temporal. But, you know, it is good to have good people to encourage you because, you know, sometimes then the next, you know, month or two, maybe they're going through a tough time and you can encourage them. You know, so it's always good to surround yourself with good, encouraging people. But anyway, it's Jesus says, he said, when he saw their faith, he said to him or said to that man, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. So first of all, he told this guy his sins was forgiven. And verse 21 happened. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, so I mean, he knew what they were thinking, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on this earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus actually never touched this guy. He never laid hands on this man. All he did was speak to the man. I don't even know how close the guy was to let him down before Jesus, but you know, if we let someone from the ceiling down before me, maybe it's 5 feet away, maybe it's 10 feet away. I don't know. But all he did was say, arise. I said, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. So here's this guy who came from the outside, through the ceiling, paralyzed. I mean, do you realize that's a big deal when he's paralyzed? I mean, he couldn't get off this bed. And at the moment Jesus said, arise, take up your bed, he did. You know, and some people think, well, man, that's Jesus talking. But once again, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus told us that the things that I did and greater things shall you do because they go to the Father. You know, things like that can happen if we expect it. But it is interesting because remember the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal them, everybody who was in the room. And the only person that we see that got healed this day was the man who was not in the room, who came from the outside. You know, the man that wasn't religious like everybody else. You understand, everybody else in that room was a religious person. They believed in God. And this other guy probably was a sinner because the first thing Jesus said is, your sins are forgiven. So obviously he wasn't the most spiritual person. You know, because sometimes we get the attitude that God only wants to heal the most spiritual people. Or God only wants to touch the most spiritual people. I've even heard two people tell me, well, I know God's going to minister to me because I'm spiritual, or I've been in church all my life. But that doesn't matter. You realize you can stand in your garage all your life and it doesn't ever make you a car? I mean, you know, it doesn't matter how much you come to church. The thing is, you have to accept the power. Amen. You realize that when Jesus spoke, this man believed. The Bible says all things are possible to them that believe. And so he believed that Jesus, by speaking the word, could heal his body. And he did. And he walked out of the room. And, you know, in fact, what's interesting is that, you know, unlike today, I mean, you know, nobody got a testimony. The guy just walked out and went on his way. And, you know, the next thing, it says here, verse 26, it says, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. So they did glorify God, but all they did was say, we saw strange things today. Now, the sad part about it is the very first sentence we read was the power was present to heal them, and nobody else got healed. These are spiritual people. These are religious people. These are the, you know, the Christians of the day. And nobody else got any needs met. And in fact, they were like, man, this is strange. And what I want to say today is a lot of times that we being spiritual people, you know, and maybe it's not a healing situation, but maybe we're in the middle of a service or of a thing, and we watch other people get blessed and we don't get blessed ourselves. I mean, you know, I've been in services, you know, where you can just tell God touched this person. They're crying and, you know, you can just tell that they got a touch from God. And everybody else was in the same service and they didn't get anything. Why didn't they get anything? Because they didn't affect anything. You know, don't miss out on what God has for you. I mean, don't set yourself in the house where God wants to move, and you don't get blessed. I mean, take what God has for you. You know, and I know a lot of people, you know, later on, who have gripes and say, well, how come this guy got blessed? I mean, they're barely a Christian. Well, it's because they believed. You know, and a lot of times, you know, really, I think what really happened was in this house where things went really bad is when Jesus told the man his sins were forgiven, everybody, instead of trying to say, well, okay, they just started questioning everything. Well, I'm not sure you can do that. I'm not sure you can do that. I've seen people in a church service or in a service, and they're like, well, I'm not sure if this is real, not real. I don't know what it is. You know, and they start questioning it, and they miss out. Man, don't miss out with God. I mean, God wants to minister to you each and every time you come to service. In fact, I mean, there's been times whenever I've come to a church service and going through some stuff and whatever, and the minister didn't preach on what I was going through. I mean, you know, he preached on something else. But I remember one time very distinctly that I was, you know, I was in service Sunday morning. Dad was ministering, and he used a couple of verses of scripture, and for some reason I just kept reading, you know, even though he wasn't preaching on that scripture, but I just kept reading. And you know, two scriptures down from where he was reading was an answer to something that I needed. It wasn't anything that he touched on, but God blessed me because, you know, I didn't even know that scripture was there. I'm sure I read it before. You know, and one of the bad things about using my quote unquote digital Bible is, you know, in my real Bible that I can, you know, flip pages. You know, sometimes there might be a verse in, I know it's in Corinthians. I can't remember if it's 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, but I know it's on the right-hand column of the page, and I know I have it highlighted there. And if I flip enough, I'll find it. The bad part about my digital Bible, you know, I do have things highlighted, but you know what? I got to know where they're at. Now, sometimes I have bookmarks, and I can find that there, but you know, it so happened that the scripture that I needed to answer my question was two scriptures down from what my dad read. You know, if you'll come seeking the Lord, he'll find you. You know, and we all come with different issues, different problems. But also, too, let me tell you this. You don't have to wait till you get to the house before God can touch you. He can touch you where you're at. All right? I mean, he loves you. And sometimes, you know, we think, well, if I'm just spiritual enough, God's going to minister to me. You know, in fact, I've heard, you know, people say, well, you know what? If I go on this kind of fast, God's going to meet my need. Now, I'm not saying you can't go on a fast. I'm not saying you can't do, you know, or you can't pray or whatever. But I'm saying God can meet your need no matter whether you go on a fast or not. Amen. All you got to do is believe. See, people get all caught up in works. Well, if I give enough of an offering, and you know, I think we get caught up in this because we watch too much Christian television. And you get some people up there, well, you know, if you give a really, really big seed, he's gonna meet this need and all these kind of stuff. You know, a lot of times ministers, and sometimes I have trouble even calling them ministers because they seem more like manipulators. You know, and I'm sad. I mean, sad to say that, but a lot of times I've seen people on TV, and to me, they seem like they're manipulating people. You know, and it's sad. You know, and what I do, I mean, the Bible, I mean, you know, says that I'm going to get judged on anything I do. So at some point in time, they're going to have to stand before God and tell God why they did that. You know, I don't manipulate people. Now there are times that we've raised money for different things. What we do is say, this is what we're raising money for. This is the project that we have. If you want to give, give. If you don't want to give, don't give. You know, my grandfather used to always say, you know what? You know, whether you give or not, I mean, if you don't give, that, you know, your pet dog's not going to die, or your, you know, your mom's not going to, something's going to happen to your mom or whatever. But if you want to give, God will bless you. Simple as that. But you know what? You don't have to give for God to meet your need. All you got to do is believe. Only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. It doesn't say be spiritual enough. It doesn't say, you know, anything about how spiritual you are. It says believe. And I have seen some very unspiritual people get needs met. And I've seen some very spiritual people not get needs met. And they're sitting around questioning, well, why didn't God meet my need? Because you didn't believe. Now, see, I think the thing about it is that the spiritual person, a lot of times, they do what I call the spiritual hokey-pokey. You know, the hokey-pokey, you know, you put your right foot in, you put your right foot out, you put your right foot in and shake it all about, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, there are steps. And so a lot of times people that are spiritual, they're going through, well, you know, I read Brother So-and-so's book, the 28 Steps of Faith. And I got to make sure I do all 28 of these steps or I'm not going to be in faith. No, there's only one step, believe. Now, my favorite scripture is the most important one, Mark 11:22, have faith in God. All I got to do is believe God. I don't have to believe that I'm going to do anything special. I got to believe that God is going to work in my life. I got to believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, and I'm not going to let somebody come from the outside and take my blessing. I'm going to get blessed myself. You know, and a lot of times it seems that God has to use somebody else. You know, it was interesting. One of my minister friends made a comment about one of my other good minister friends, Todd White. Many of you know Todd. Todd's a wonderful man. You know, Todd actually had no intention ever to be in the ministry. Do you know what Todd wanted to do? He said, you know, he read in the Bible where it says, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We've all read that, right? So he decided to go to Walmart or go to the mall and find people who were sick and pray for them. And if you read his testimony, that the first, I don't know how many people he prayed for months, as far as he knows, that they didn't even get, nobody got healed. But you know what? He kept praying for people. Now, I'm not saying God might have healed that person, but Todd didn't, you know, nobody gave him a testimony. Nobody ever came back, but he just kept praying for people because that's what the Bible said. And then all of a sudden, someone got healed. And then somebody else got healed. And you know how his ministry started? Somebody called Todd up and said, hey, give that testimony about how that guy got healed. And he did. And then he had more testimonies. And he had more testimonies. And then he started, you know, just preaching about just being a Christian. And he got into, you know, and basically before this point in time, Todd was a pretty good sinner. All right, I mean, but God just changed his life in an instant. You know, and so when I had one of my minister friends said, you know what, isn't it kind of interesting how, no, this guy, he not only he's graduated from Rhema, but he also has a doctor's degree in theology. All right, so he's a very learned man. All right, but he's not like most doctors that you think of, you know, theology. I mean, he also, well, maybe because he spent time in the Marine Corps, that he's very practical as well. But he says, you know, in that kind of like God, he said, you know, so many of us, we're trained on how to be a minister and all this kind of stuff, and we can't see anything happen in our life, and then God uses someone from the outside, and look at all the miracles that are happening. You know, because it doesn't matter how much you know. What matters is, do you believe? It's not about how much you know, not about how many verses you can quote. It's about, do you simply believe? I believe that we're moving in the days to see more and more miracles, more and more healings. Because the Bible says in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And it talks about signs and wonders and miracles and healings. You know, and I believe that we're moving to that point. But you know what? We got to expect it to happen. We got to be ready for it to happen. You know what? Don't let somebody else take your blessing too. And sometimes people think a miracle is only a healing. No, sometimes a miracle is just something on the inside that you needed. Sometimes you felt broken on the inside. You needed something on the inside, whatever it was. You know, miracles are not always an outward appearance. But it was interesting in this situation how the only person that got touched was the man from the outside. But what I'm wanting to let you know is that everybody on the inside were very spiritual people. They knew the word. They could quote the word. I mean, they could quote the Old Testament. You know, and that was, you know, understand that was all that was there was the Old Testament. They knew what the word said. They were the spiritual leaders of the day. Man, you know, if somebody else gets healed or somebody else gets their needs met, we need to jump up and take our healing. I know one time that I was believing God for a new car because I wanted one. Simply what it was. I had a good used car, but I wanted a new car. There was a certain car that I wanted, and bless God, why can I not believe God for it? The Bible says he's going to give us the desires of our heart, whatever we believe, whatever we put our faith to. So that's our believing God for a new car. And I was there at the ministry. One of our other teachers there, somebody drove up, one of our graduates, Raymer graduate, drove up in this car, walked into his class while he was teaching, and after class, laid a set of keys on his on the podium and says, "Here, I bought you a new car." Now, it was a yellow Corvette, brand new. All right, I think it was a 1992 model. Brand new 1992 yellow Corvette. This particular teacher really liked Corvettes, and he had an older Corvette. So this guy, you know, felt to bless him with a brand new Corvette. Now, I wasn't believing God for a brand new Corvette. I do want to let you know I was being a little more practical than that because, you know, but I would have took the Corvette, okay? I just want to let you know, even though it was yellow, I still would have took the Corvette. I would have actually even drove it. I wouldn't even sold it. I would have drove it, you know? But it was interesting when this man, I got to, you know, I found out later on the day, went over and talked to this teacher, and I said, "Were you believing God for a new car?" He goes, "Nope. God just blessed me with one." Well, you know how frustrating I was? I mean, I've been believing God for a car for months. And lo and behold, I'm like, maybe he got things mixed up. Maybe he meant to give me the keys. You know, and at some point, because my mind's like, well, why? You know, I'm kind of flabbergasted. I mean, you know, and it was like, I've been believing God for a car for like 7 months or something like that at the time. And so, you know, at first I wanted to get mad, but you know, I couldn't get mad because I was pretty excited that he got a new car. And that was pretty exciting. So I just went for a ride. Okay. I mean, I figured, you know, but here's what something on the inside of me, I claim next car. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know if any of you, you know, pick up basketball a lot of times. You know, people are playing a game and you say, you know, we got next game, you know, so we're going to play the winner. So I decided to claim next car, you know, and, next car, people I know, I'm going to get the next new car. All right. Now, you know, and 2 months later I did. And so sometimes, you know, when we see somebody else gets blessed, man, we should jump on in. You know, the Bible said the power of the Lord is present to heal all of them. Do you realize there were probably other people in the room, maybe they weren't paralyzed, but there were probably people in the room that had a headache, probably people in the room who had the flu, probably people in the room that had backache, probably people in the room that were going through some tough times in life. And we don't read that anybody got healed. All they're talking about how strange it was that this man walked out. I mean, you know, maybe it is strange. I mean, I've been in a lot of church services. A lot of strange things happen. I'm like, well, is this really God? I don't know. But people seem to get blessed. So if they got blessed, that's all that really matters. I don't care if it seems strange or looks strange or whatever. I mean, you know, we have precedents. If you go to Acts chapter 2, people like started saying, well, things are strange here. You know, and basically they were getting filled with the Holy Ghost, but it seemed strange. You know, and Peter had to get up and say, they're not drunk like you think. They're just filled with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, and so sometimes we go to services and things might seem strange and we're trying to figure out what's going on. Instead of figuring out, just jump in. I always decided I'm just going to jump in. I want everything God has for me. Everything he has for me, you know, and why should anybody else get something that I can't get, especially if they're coming from the outside? They don't know what I know. You know, and so I just simply believe. No matter what, I believe God that he'll take care of my situations. He'll take care of my circumstances. That God is still in control at all times. You know, and like I said, the other day I did get a little frustrated or whatever. But now when I get frustrated, my frustration is very short. Because on the inside, you know, in this situation, I was talking to this gentleman, you know, he began to speak faith to me. But you know what? Every time I get frustrated, I mean, you know, it's like, you know what? God's still God. Amen. God is good. And so sometimes, you know, I'm looking at a situation, I'm like, well, how is this going to change? But you know what? My mind is only a natural mind. I only can think naturally. But the Bible says, Luke 18:27, that man's impossibilities, God's possibilities, that all things are possible with God. It doesn't matter. I don't have to figure out how it's going to happen. All I got to do is believe. I mean, this man who was let down through the ceiling tile didn't have to figure out how is he going to start walking when Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. He did. I mean, you know, think about that man's life, how much it changed in a few short minutes. I mean, he came down not walking, you know, walked out walking. I mean, that's awesome. But you know what? God wants to do awesome things in your life. And maybe it's not healing you of paralysis. You know, maybe it's just setting you free of depression. You know, whatever it is, he wants to do an awesome thing in your life if you'll let him. You know, and sometimes, you know, I've heard people even make excuses. I mean, you know, some people have said, well, I'm just suffering for Jesus. We don't suffer for Jesus. Jesus suffered for us. Amen. You know, I've heard people say, well, God put this on me so I can suffer. You know what? He doesn't want you to suffer. He wants you to be healed. The power of the Lord was present to heal them all. And I tell you what, I've decided in my life, I'm not going to miss out on whatever God has for me. I want to take it all. I want to take all his power. I mean, I want my life to change. You know, a lot of my situations, thank God that God, I mean, I did go through some kidney issues and things are going well there. But majority of my things I go through are financial. You know, and sometimes I'm thinking, well, how is this bill going to get met, you know? Well, just for instance, this whole, you know, when your engine gets seized and stuff, that's a big deal. And of course, when your daughter wrecks your car, I'm thinking about this is the second time she's had a wreck and with being her fault, I'm thinking my insurance is going to go up. I may be paying for a new engine and all these kind of things. You know, the devil's hit me on the head, you know, with all these kind of things. You know, that insurance policy, that's not going to work. I mean, they're not going to pay and whatever. But it looks like that it's all going to pan out. It's going to have to be just been a process. Sometimes paperwork takes processes. But you know, it looks like they're going to pay for the engine, and I'm going to cost me like $300. And it's not going to be a brand new engine, but it's going to be, you know, an unseized one. That's right. They said they found a used engine with about the same miles that my car had on, but they've gone through it. Comes with a 12-month warranty and all kinds of stuff like that. So it's going to end up costing me about $300, it looks like. That's not bad for a new engine or an engine, period. Whether it's new, whether it's not new. You know, and so, you know, to God be the glory. You know, but it's been paperwork and it's been negotiation and it's been, you know, making sure that, you know, because the first thing that they wanted all kinds of records and everything. Of course, that's another thing. I wasn't really good about keeping my receipts and stuff every time I've had the car worked on, all that kind of stuff. So I had to go. Thank God we have computers now. And they keep receipts and things like that. So it's been a big deal. But you know what? God's still good. And so far, my insurance hadn't gone up either. My daughter's wreck, I'm not sure what's going to happen. We'll just believe God that it won't go up anymore because I'm pretty mad at her. But anyway, no, she's not hurt. That's the big thing. Nobody got hurt. That's, you know, sometimes, you know, situations, you know, we get all mad about things. You know what? Things can be replaced, but people can't. You know, and so when I say I'm mad at her, I really wasn't mad at her. I was glad she wasn't hurt. I wasn't glad that there was like 8,000 $800 worth of damage on the car. So, you know, was upset. I mean, but I'm happy she wasn't hurt. And that's a good thing. You know, praise God anyhow. God is good. Amen. Man, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And Father God, help us to know that we don't have to miss out on what you have for us. Help us understand it's not about how spiritual we are, but it's about us just believing God, just trusting him. And we thank you, Father, right now for each and every person that's here tonight. But Father God, we thank you if someone is here tonight that does not know your son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without making him Lord and Savior of their life. If anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they want to make him Lord today, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you've never been saved, then you want to tonight. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, one time I walked with Jesus, but I kind of turned my back and I went away, and I want to come back home and rededicate my life to God. If that's you, if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, or you want to rededicate your life to God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. Heavenly Father, we don't see any hands, but we thank you, Father, if anyone is here that does not know your son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, we thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis, and we thank you for helping them be saved. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Well, let's all stand up. Before we go, is there anybody here that needs healing in their body? Anybody that needs healing? Come on down here. We want to minister healing. Anyone that needs healing, just come down here. We want to pray for you before we go. Every time that we have service here, as you know, we like to pray for people who are sick in their body, no matter how small or how big. You know, obviously, you guys are walking up here, so you weren't like the guy who was carried on the stretcher. So you know what? How easy it is for God to take care of your situation. I mean, you know, we just read about a man that was on a stretcher and God healed him. Well, that same power is present tonight. Amen. I want to ask you guys to do a couple of things. I want to ask you to close your eyes, lift both hands toward heaven, and I want you to think about Jesus Christ and your healing. Father God, we thank you right now for the healing power of God that's going to flow into their bodies from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we thank you, Father, in advance for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. In the name, that's it right there. Be healed now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of, there it is. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, there it is right there. That's it right there. Be healed now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. That's it, Rocky. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and thank God. Father God, we just thank you right now for touching these bodies, Father. We thank you, Father, that you're healing them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. The strong anointing tonight. You could just feel it. Amen. And you know, praise God. God's a good God. Amen.